Hello, I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director of Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief Podcast. In today's fragmented media environment, media planners are having to consider digital resources more than ever. But with so many to choose from, what's the best way to select the right outlets? And once those selections are made, how best do you measure success? And finally, where should social media fall into that mix? Some of the best in the business take on those complex questions in this session taken from Promax BDA Station Summit in Las Vegas. Mary Media founding partner Mary Aronson moderates a panel that includes Adrian Anderson, Vice President, Creative Services, KTLA Los Angeles, Molly Kelly, Corporate Director of Media Strategy, Weigel Broadcasting, and R.A. Pichnik, Vice President, Affiliate Marketing and Co-op, Warner Brothers Worldwide TV Marketing. Let's listen in on what they have to say.
Adrian Anderson is Vice President of Marketing for KTLA in Los Angeles, the flagship station. Woo! Media Group.
I'll try not to fall off this chair.
Yeah, really. Ari Pichnik is Vice President of Affiliate Marketing and Co-op for Warner Brothers Worldwide Television Marketing. And Molly Kelly is Corporate Director of Media Strategy for WCIU in Chicago. So we're about to hear perspectives from a group-owned local station, a syndicator of so many hit shows, and a powerhouse independent station. As we all know, digital media plays a big role in all of our marketing plans. We have 9 questions and a few takeaways at the end on the screen. So let's begin by asking. Let's start with you, Miss Molly.
All right.
Okay, what are the key questions before you begin planning digital placements?
Well, when I begin planning digital placements, I think about 3 things. I think about who's my audience, who am I trying to touch, what is my product, is it news, is it sitcom, what is it, a morning lifestyle show, so I think about that. Then lastly, I think about what are my goals, what are my key performance indicators, am I looking to drive clicks, am I looking to video completion rates, so those are the 3 most important things I look at when I'm about to place a digital buy.
I was just going to add to that. I think with that, it's reverse engineering. It's what is success? What is it that you, and success is so many different things to different people, but exactly. Success could be, you know what, we want to have the biggest digital platform locally in order to be able to go out to our local clients and say, look, we're number one in the market with that. That's a big success. Success could be like, I want to prove to the general manager or to the senior vice president of, you know, creative or whomever that when you give us some dollars or, you know, we're going to use those dollars to really, you know, make the biggest impact. And also success could be you're just testing. I mean, that's the biggest takeaway for, I think, all of us is that nobody are experts. Anybody that says they're an expert with this, you know, digital is lying to you. I think, it's really true. You know, you guys are experts. I mean, Jeff Zellmer is an expert. You know, Marshall Hyatt, everybody here has their own local market. They have their own experiences. And to me, I think that's the biggest takeaway is that we have to constantly learn. We have to talk to each other. We have to make sure we're sharing as much information as we possibly can. I think you'd agree with that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think, as Molly was saying, it's like really, it's not different than when you're doing an overall media plan.
Right.
You're, in terms of objectives, you know, with digital, you can get so much more hyper-targeted. I think you need to look at, in terms of objectives, are you trying to get off your own platforms, first of all? And are you trying to drive ratings? Are you trying to build awareness? Are you trying to incentivize somebody to take a specific action? You really need to define those goals, or the KPIs, as they call them in the digital world, before you start planning, because what the end result is going to be are all the digital, the viewer analytics or the behavior analytics that you're going to get at the end, and we can talk about that a little bit later. But that's the gold mine at the end of your digital buy, because what you can then do with that information that results from your buy, a whole lot of things. We're going to talk about retargeting. We're going to talk about, you know, directing your creative after you get some of that information. Because, you know, in the broadcast world, in the typical media, radio, outdoor, broadcast, you really don't know what the results are of what your plans are. You hope, you know, you hope half of it is hitting somebody, but in this world, you really can know who you're hitting and how they engaged with it. So what you do with that information at the end is really kind of, as Ari said, reverse engineering. Start there and then plan.
I want to make one more bold statement, I think, for the room. I think everybody could agree with that. I was in the local television for 14 years at Tribune, and before going to Warner Brothers.
Yes, yes.
And we're creatives. We're creative marketing. We know the audience. We know ad buys. We know how to, you know, market, and we know what sticks. News is content. They're extremely important. A lot of the stuff on the social media is that news. We have to take social media and digital and all of that back, at least in the sense of, you know, you're always, I don't know about everybody, but I know a lot of times news controls a large part of the Facebook, the social platforms. A lot of times in the best case scenario, you're working together, that's the best case. But you have to really reinforce that we, you know, as a creative director, as somebody, you are an expert in that social media. And when you're doing, so one of the goals in all, everything you do has to be, how do I reinforce that? The budgets, the boosting of the post, and all of that is going to be something that should be in creative services' hands as much as it should be as a partnership with your news.
Yeah, one thing to look at in terms of collaborating with your digital team, whether yeah. they're embedded in your creative services or they're in news or it's a corporate position. We as broadcasters, we're content publishers, just as all of the other, you know, online folks are out there. We are 360 now. All of us, I'm sure, you all have websites, you all have social media platforms, you all have, you might be doing podcasting, you might be doing all sorts of, you know, digital units that you are presenting, you know, to your advertising community. So when you look at your creative services departments, you should look at your content marketers. You're not just spot producers anymore. So, you know, you really think about that because, you know, Facebook loves news providers, right? We're building their business and they keep changing the rules as we go along. But, you know, there's a real value in that. And we've been talking about this quite a bit, you know, about redefining your position in that ecosystem. Mm-hmm. That you are a content marketer, not just a producer mm-hmm. of spots. Mm-hmm. So.
When we were preparing for the session, Molly, you said something really provocative that we loved, and I want to ask you to elaborate a little. You said, the work begins when the buys are placed.
Well, that's my philosophy. When I go into a buy, I just don't set it and forget it. I am constantly monitoring it. We touched on, is a piece of creative connecting more than another? Are the impressions being delivered where you need them? I am constantly monitoring and checking on those analytics. I think that's really when the work begins. Certainly planning is important, but being there, engaged, monitoring, getting your teams to help monitor is invaluable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, question number two. Which platforms, tools, or services tend to serve you best for attracting viewers, and how do you get digital extensions on traditional media? So let's take it in two parts. Which platforms, tools, or services tend to serve you best for attracting viewers? Or is that too broad?
I think everyone in the room would probably say Facebook, Instagram. You know, it's become such a ingrained in our culture on every demo level. You know, we are publishing on Facebook, Instagram. I think there are so many things you can do with. I was going to talk about dark posting later, but...
Mm-hmm. I was just going to add to that, which is, you know, I deal with a lot of thousands of you guys, you know, across the country with all of our shows, and everybody knows it's Facebook. You guys are pushing Facebook. Instagram is connected. You could do a very efficient buy with that, but at the end of the day, it is interesting to look at these new platforms that come out, but also understanding, I had a sales executive say, hey, look, Musical.ly is out, you know, yeah. What do you got? Yeah, well, it's like 13-year-old average age. It's not even 25, 54. So you do have to be careful of sometimes, say, you know, you have to look at the new stuff that's out there, see what works.
Keep your eye on it.
But also realize that at the end of the day, where is the meat and potatoes going to be? The one thing that I was going to say, though, also with extending, I mean, the biggest thing with extending your digital dollars is that education that you're doing up the food chain, whether it's in sales, whether it's in your GM. And what I think a lot of us in this room know, but not everybody knows, is that you can have a million people, you know, on your Facebook. You have a million likes, you have your social interactions, you have all that. If you're getting 1% or 2% on an organic post, I know that news content does much better, but if you're getting 1% or 2% organic posts, if you're not paying, you're not getting on your fans. And that's what people don't understand. Hey, we have a million people. Look, that's great. But if you're not paying for that to actually reach them, you're not reaching them.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse.
Yeah,
it's got worse and worse, and they're constantly changing.
Yeah, the average engagement on a post, on a boosted post, is probably about 8 to 9% in terms of engagement. Luckily, with all of us here in this room, the average, national average, from what I understand, with news content is like 40 to 50%. And if you really hone in on what people are responding to, you can get that even higher than that. So we're in the fortunate pool. We're not trying to sell sneakers or soda or whatever. So we actually have information and content that people want to, you know, engage with. So we're a little bit more fortunate that way. But it is, you know, pay to play. You can't just put something on your your post up on your newsfeed and expect a million of your fans are gonna, you know, get in there. And you know that.
And we know that, but others don't, and that's the key, because people will see a big number and they'll say, wow, this is amazing. But but you have to really educate to make sure. That's why, you know, one of the things with extending your digital dollars is getting more digital dollars by proving that you're the experts, and by making sure that you inform your GMs and everybody around there, so they're not thinking that, oh, wow, why do you need money for? We have so many people.
Yeah.
Facebook is the place. Yeah. I mean, it's the biggest. They also have the most money. So if you're like, think that other social platforms have something unique, Facebook's going to do it. They're the biggest. They're, you know, and they've got the money to do everything. And mobile's important, obviously.
Well, that's key.
You know, I don't know how many people here were at Andrew's session before this, but he was talking about Facebook. 50 minutes a day, people on average, are spending with Facebook. I mean, it's like, that's a lot of time. So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is mobile. I mean, 80% of digital is experienced on mobile, on a mobile platform. So that, in terms of taking a step back, in terms of planning, you really need to be buying on, you know, your planning needs to be on mobile.
Yeah, honestly, I don't want to, you know, we do a lot of co-op and stuff like that, and we're very supportive of digital, and we've been for the last few years. We have, just for you guys, we haven't seen, there's a few markets that will go all in with digital. Most of the time we recommend a 360 or as much as you can. I know that the budgets are not always there, but if you're going digital, it is that mobile. You know, it has to be. Do you want to talk really quickly about just the fraud? And because extending your digital dollars is about making sure you're not getting taken for a ride.
Yeah, you know, one of the things you may or may not have considered, and I would think, and I'd hope, most of your groups, your local stations, your corporate entities, you have fraud. You can't not have fraud protection on your own assets. There are many platforms that provide fraud protection. Some of the biggest agencies in the world, you know, they have whole divisions of people, you know, working on this, because up to 50% of some digital buys can be bots. You're not reaching a human being.
Completely fake.
Completely fake. Oh. So you need to have an awareness of that. You know, ask when you go back to your ranch. Ask them, you know, what are you doing in terms of...
I wanted to say Molly, because Molly, I work with her very closely, and she squeezes her agencies to get as much information. So tell us about that.
Well, I've worked with several different agencies. In fact, one of them is sitting in here, Liquidus, and I really push them. Right, Dave and Catherine? Daily reporting. I know some agencies don't do that. So there are things that I just push for. Because we get rated daily. We get our report card daily. I need to see what's going on. So I need to get that information so I can make critical changes. And I know none of that is rocket science to any of you. I've worked with many of you over the years. But it is. It's just taking the time to go back. It's taking the time to be aggressive and assertive with the partners you're working with, whether it's an agency, whether you're doing it on your own, whether it's your digital team.
Yeah.
It's just, it is being, you know, your best marketer.
Yeah, make sure.
Protecting your investment.
You're asking your agency folks or whoever's working with you, how are you authenticating what you're delivering to me? I want you to explain this to me. I want to see.
Write that down.
Yes.
That's important. But it's funny because you say that because it's, you know, we talk about our partners and the people. You got, sometimes when you're dealing with digital world, because it changes so much, you have a lot of people, there's some really great partners and people you work with, but a lot of times you can feel kind of stupid, or and I know I have, I've been like, oh, whatever you say, okay, well, yeah, sure, just show me something pretty. But, you know.
Wait, you said that to me.
No, okay. Exactly. But here's the deal. If you're in your local market, we talk about out of home. I've dealt with buys with people who spend billions of dollars of money for theatrical and whatever, and I'll go into a local market, I'll say, you know, or whether it was New York, which I was there for 10 years, or if it was Sacramento, and I'm like, why are you buying that? That's horrible. Nobody does that. Like that's for tourists, or that's for, you know, no, I want to get, you know, Brooklyn and Queens and Bronx, you know. And the same thing has to apply to the digital, which is, you know, even though you might not have all the information, you do have a sense. You know, use your intuition, get as educated as you possibly can, learn from your group, learn from others, but on top of that, don't feel ashamed of asking questions. Don't, if something looks weird, like if you get a one-page report, it's like, oh, we did well, you know, or, you know, here's a few impressions, or, oh, by the way, we're programmatic and I can't tell you, you know, what the site. No, demand more. Demand more from your stations, from your partners, demand more from digital, because otherwise they'll just sort of use that, like, ooh, it's all cool, everything's great.
Yeah, we've had long conversations about programmatic.
Ooh, whoops.
Was that me?
That's me.
Oh,
okay.
Awesome.
Sorry.
It's okay. We'll fix that in post.
Quick, Ari, you touched on something very interesting. You talked about the traditional media placements on radio and how you can get social media extensions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the deal.
On
radio.
If you're
you guys don't have, I know your budgets, you know, like they're not wildly crazy, you know. I mean, it's not like a theatrical buy where you're going to do a big 360 and be able to buy everything. Sometimes if you're lucky, if you're launching a show, if you have a little bit more dollars, you'll have that. And what I would say is, you know, the best deal is to have a 360 as best as you can to try to utilize digital where it works, but also place in, the, you know, your radio or your cable, where, you know, for that point of purchase. But on top of that, if you're dealing with radio, and we kind of know this, leverage them for, you know, make sure that you're dealing with the anchor, I'm sorry, the radio host, the jocks, get them to retweet your stuff, create that relationship. Sometimes Adrian is saying, you know, that's, they'll want some more money, and that's fine, you can deal with, see what works. But make sure that if it's morning drive, they're not just doing the morning drive, they're also retweeting your messaging and connecting with your Facebook. And I think that also applies with your own talent. You know, make sure that if there's a really big story that you're, you know, using, that whether it's on radio or if you're doing a sweeps piece and news, that you are connecting it between all the pieces.
Amplifying.
Yeah, and you're amplifying that. Because, and you know, I just wanted to mention, and again, I go back to Jeff Zellner because we were talking the other day. Jeff mentioned that if you boost, don't go out and, whether it's out of home, whether it, if you're doing like news or you're doing a piece of content, make sure you're boosting the content that is really good. Like, make sure that you're not just throwing your money away on something like, well, we got to promote this story. It has to be good, because otherwise it's a throwing away of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and to that point, in terms of boosting, I don't know how many of you have been in the world of dark posting and A/B testing, you know, your creative and doing, you know, split creative. you know, Facebook allows you to do all that testing off of your own, you know, news feed, so you're not sort of junking up, you know, what your loyalists are saying, are seeing per se. So you can take four different headlines on a piece of creative and then test it out there, put a few hundred bucks against it, do it for a week, see what the engagement rate is, see what, you know, one headline might pop out against, you know, three others, or a visual, or a piece of video, you know, and then boost it, you know, make sure, just because someone, you know, in your news department says this is a great story, you know, it needs to be that creative needs to be recreated so that it is suitable for the way that person is experiencing it on the newsfeed. So there's lots of things you can do, you know, than just, oh, I'm going to throw some money, you know, on something new, you know, a news might have put up. So,
do you agree with that, Molly?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Testing, yeah, testing. That's the beauty of digital.
Anybody want to address click-throughs versus forced viewing?
Well, we touched on that a little bit earlier. You know, if you're going for a click-through rate, you're obviously probably wanting to drive traffic to either your platform or your website, which that's then your KPI. You know, if it's, what was the other one, forced viewing, then obviously you're going for ratings.
Well, the elephant in the room is that, you know, here's our problem. Our problem is we make most of our money on ratings on our station.
Yep.
Digital is over here, your television station's over here, and it's very difficult to bring people from here, it's not point of purchase, over here. You can do awareness. That's why I'm extremely excited about the future, which is the OTT, and being able to tell somebody right now, click here and watch my newscast, or click here right now and watch, you know, Mom, you know, coming September 18th, or, you know, or you know,
shameless.
Yeah, I know.
Shameless.
You know, or, you know,
never miss an
okay,
opportunity.
Okay, I'll be fair, or Goldberg, or Seinfeld, you know. You know, I'll be fair, you know. But I think it's, or Page Six, I gotta throw out to Richard Dumont there. You know, but. But
wait, is this pay to play?
No. Well, but that is, it is. But really, again, you know, the two things is that connective tissue, and we talked about forced view, so there's two things that you guys got to do if you're going to extend the digital dollars. And one is, there's any way to force view and get people from that digital platform to your station. And the other thing, and we know this, but really it's that retargeting. Retargeting of audiences. You can create a white list of go to your community event, get a list of people, just like we used to do with the mailers, you know, get a list of people. Hell, have your interns talk to them and say, oh, what's your favorite show? You know, what do you like watching? What's your favorite time period? Get that information down, you know, and then make sure that they approve and that legally is all cool. But at the end of the, you know, what is that iTunes, you know, accept here, you know. So, but make sure that you're retargeting. Get those lists and then use that as a paid buy, because you can go and retarget people that are very focused on your social, who do watch your programming, who do watch your news. And if you do that, that's where it's all about. Broad, just throwing money out the table is nothing. It's really about trying to get those lists of the people that are connected to your station. And one of the things we always talk about is, on average, many people are watching your shows maybe 1.8 times a week, 1.6 times a week. If you add a person who already watches your station one more time a week, which is very difficult, but one more time a week, you can have a 15-20% increase in your ratings. So retarget on your Facebook, connect with them in your community, and that's where you guys can beat out all these national advertisers, because you are in that community. You're doing these events, you're doing the local Comic Cons. Get out there, get these lists, retarget them, and use your interns to get all that information, write it down, then sell it to your advertiser. All right. Retargeting, thoughts on that? Molly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
How do you cross-promote on your own website or on Facebook your station page versus your talent page?
We don't.
Okay.
The audience has matured. I think at this point, people know where to go if they want to find, you know, your station website or your Facebook page. You know, the thing is, the best way to grow is organically. So if you put good content out there, if your talent is hopefully you're monitoring some of your talent. If your talent is putting engaging stuff out there, you're going to have that sort of organic growth. We don't do that type of, I don't know.
Well,
do you?
We are growing our effort in that, but we have some new initiatives happening, and so we're really looking at how we do this. So again, it's an evolving thing for us.
Yeah, it really depends where you are in your life cycle of your platforms
and also
what works
your
best.
Show.
Yeah, and how strong you are in your market, really. Yep. It's a kind of a...
On the syndicator side, we introduced something which Francis talked about in our session with Ellen, which is cross-posting, and that's something on Facebook, which you probably know. I know a lot of groups use that, you know, for content to share across. But if you don't know cross-posting, one of the things that we do is...
Yeah, that's different than...
It's different from that, but it is to a certain extent where you're taking two different entities of two pages and being able to make sure that both get that organic native video view. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking a video view, you can cross-post, and let's just say it's coming from, you know, one page from Ellen, you can put it on your station, that's native to your site. It's not a share, it looks native, it is native, and then when you like and you share and you get that activity, it's yours. So I think from the city, when you're dealing with a lot of the syndicators, I think, or any content providers, you really want that native video. You want it to look native. We know that on Facebook
wants
this
it
is
native.
Very well known, but the algorithm with like from YouTube or anything like that is horrible. So you have to have that native video on your site. And cross-posting is one way you could do that, whether you're a group, cross-posting from station to station, or with syndicators and that. So that's something to look at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving along. How do you make a case for digital marketing if your boss does not embrace it?
Ha ha.
Well, I heard, raise the hand, who has a challenge getting a larger digital budget or having to prove it? I see one, I see two, I see three.
That's a lot
wow.
of people. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, your GMs love the ROI acronym. So how do you do that? you can ask for a small amount of money. Some of the things, you know, we did at Warner Brothers, I've done through my career, you know, you're not going to get an exact correlation on ROI unless you're, you know, a direct response type of advertiser, which, you know, we're
Netflix
not.
Netflix or something like that, yeah.
Or 1-800
yeah.
Tech School.
Yeah.
But, so you can build a case. Do a simple exercise. If you say you're in one of your newscasts, you're at the quarter hour click, you're falling off, and you want to try to prove a case with, I'm going to Facebook, right? So do an incentive post, create some kind of sweepstakes or whatever it is that you know your folks in your market like. Take the quarter hour ratings prior to the quarter hour you're falling off from the week before. The week that you're doing your flight, say it's $500 on your boosted, you know, win cash, you know, every day, whatever it is. Track that. Then after the flight, take another track of what's happening on that quarter hour. And then just put it on a spreadsheet. Just do a simple exercise. Do it a few times. You know, you don't need a ton of money to do this, but you can draw that. It's not going to be an exact correlation, but it is something that if you can see that movement and you can say, hey, I moved the needle 0.025, you know, during this week that I did this, or hey, I moved it a tenth of a point. You guys know what the value of that point or fraction of a point is to your GM or to whoever is, you know, giving you that budget. So do those exercises where you put your business mind on and prove to them that, you know, I understand the value of the dollar you're giving me to gain a dollar. You know, and I'm happy to.
If it works, it's an exact correlation. To see.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
If it doesn't work, it's there's no correlation.
There's a lot of You guys can spin it all. Spin it whatever way you need.
Spin.
Yeah. But
and there's a lot of research that we've been given this week.
Yeah.
New fresh research. So if you were in the session right before this, to give Andrew a shout out, I saw him at the ABC meetings and then just the hour previous. He really had some really great, compelling slides that you can bring to your GM and show them. The buy-in is critical, and I think that gives you some really a future look and backs up what you're asking for.
But this also goes to, with anything you do or any media, make sure you get some quick wins. Find out the areas that you could get, you know, what is your goal? Find out how you can get a win and then sort of grow from there. Because when you get that, it's all about trust. It's why am I giving you money? I could put that money to the bottom line. The other thing is don't go in and just, here's the biggest problem with all media placement and outside media placement. If you don't do a critical mass of it, if you're not doing it, you have to find out what is that critical
threshold.
Mass, what is that threshold that's going to be effective. Otherwise, you're just throwing it out. It does not matter.
Yep.
And then what happens is, if you're not going to reach that threshold that you believe works, and you make a big pitch for a few dollars, and then you go back and say it doesn't work, you're not even going to get a few dollars. So you really have to make sure and talk with your agency. Say, oh, we could do something for $1,000. We could do something for $50. Find out what you actually need to actually have that effectiveness. Try to do as much proving that you can say, $5,000 would be amazing for a big month-long campaign, but you know what? I really believe we need $10,000 locally to be able to make that happen. It sounds like a lot of money. It's a crazy amount of money, but otherwise, so go out there and really try to find out what that is. It could be $500. You know, it depends on what your goal is, but make sure that your goal is commensurate with what you're spending and understand that there's no free ride. You're not going to spend $100 and get a lot of, you know, it just does not happen.
Yeah, and speaking to the analytics that are available, mm-hmm. you know, your research director can tell you that your, you know, in your Nielsen sample, you know, in this particular zip code, you're not delivering, you know, this audience is over here. Mm-hmm. So geofence, whatever you're doing down to that. If you can't afford to buy your whole DMA, look at those critical areas where maybe there's a chance you're going to, you know, move the needle a little bit.
Real quick, Molly, you are famous for many things, and one of them is stretching the digital dollar. Tell us, if you can, how you have scored some amazing reach with a very little budget.
Well, let me think about that. So,
let's say you had $500.
$500. Again, Facebook, I think, is a critical place to be. And again, it really goes to what your product is and what you're trying to do. And I know I'm not giving you a specific answer, but it is so situational. And you can do things with small dollars. But again, it is when you make that investment, you do want to move the needle. So you each have to decide what that is for your own self. So again, I go back to good common practices of watch where your dollars are being placed, watch what's going on the buy. I think that allows you to extend your digital reach. Mm-hmm. If you know what's going on
and
you make adjustments.
Yeah, making the adjustments
are going
to extend your dollars.
And sometimes that's hitting stop. Maybe it's, you know, you've reached enough people and on a piece of creative on Facebook, which I thought was a piece of Andrew's takeaway from ABC, and using those dollars maybe somewhere elsewhere.
Shift it.
I also, you know, we came up in our conversation, you know, is programmatic problematic?
Yes.
Is programmatic, you know, you hear a lot about that, but is that really the best?
Wait, what is programmatic? Because not everybody, I mean, a lot of people do, but not everybody knows.
So working with your agency to build out contextual profiles of your of the people you're trying to attract, and then they buy according to these the profiles,
the demos, and
who you're trying to reach. So, I've had long conversations with our agency, and we wound up doing whitelisting because you're buying so deep, and you know you're on 300 sites, and where are these sites,
and where contextually is that appropriate
is
for
that
you
for what you're buying, and for some of your product. The answer might be yes, But for me, I didn't feel that that was working. And we had very active conversations back and forth about the right way to approach the buy. And so we made some adjustments, pretty substantial adjustments to the buy and the way we approached certain products. So
also be careful with programmatic, which again is you're buying a demo, not a site. You're buying just here's a, you know, and you technically, right. you get a cheaper CPM because you don't know where it's going.
Whoa.
And again, I think everybody in this room would rather spend a little bit more to get to the right audience.
Yeah.
And that at the end of the day, that was the filter for my decision making.
And to Adrian's point, which is if you're doing something where you don't know where it's going, at the end of the day, in this day and age, as we all know, you don't want your brand associated with something. I mean, you don't want to have to spend a lot more money just to fix the problem of doing a little,
that
you know, and you don't want to be in a place where you don't want it to be. And the other thing is, you guys are all part of large groups. You have big digital infrastructures. Make sure you're not duplicating efforts where you're necessarily buying something that you could get for necessarily free within your own sort of sphere of your corporate. So, you know, as an example, you don't want to do a programmatic buy where you don't know necessarily where it's going, and then you find out, well, for us, like TMZ, you know, 40% of the buy was on TMZ. Well, I could have got that anyways, you know. So,
well, maybe.
So, well, you know, but to your point, you might have a situation where you have a local digital sponsor or digital somebody within your group. You might be able to find out how can you get some placement there. And there's a lot of times there's a lot of agreements that you have. So just make sure that when you're dealing with programmatic, that, as she said, problematic, just make sure you know what you're getting into. Don't, you know, and if
and
you know
white,
that.
And you should and be white, whitelisting.
Which
whitelisting.
Is, I want these pages, I don't, or blacklist, I don't want these pages.
Correct.
Yeah.
Let's move on to myth versus fact. What do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions about digital advertising?
That it's easy.
Touché.
I think the biggest myth is that, you know, people just see all these numbers and all these metrics, and at the end of the day, again, I think the biggest myth is that Facebook is your friend. You know, they're not. They're a business, and at the end of the day, they're going to constantly change to be what's there in their best interest. They also remember, we use them. They're a platform. They're great for building, but they will change. Oh, look at the timeline with them. Originally, you build friends, or you know, fans or friends. You place it. You place something on their on your page. Everybody saw it. Then it was okay. Not everybody saw it because there's so much content. What I heard was they would like to have like 10 pieces of content on a news feed at one time. 10 pieces of content out of thousands of stuff trying to get on somebody's feed. Mm-hmm. So that's why you're not showing up on more than like 1 or 2%, maybe more if it's a local and compelling piece.
But you gotta pay.
But you gotta pay to play, and that's where we as creative people and creative marketing, we need to go out and inform that we need those budgets, we need those dollars. Don't think that you have that big audience and that you're reaching them, you're not. And also keep on looking at what Facebook changes with their algorithm.
Yeah.
Constantly changing. And it'll get to the point, like right now we have Facebook Live. If you do Facebook Live now, you might be getting more, you know, hits, and you might be getting more fans and likes. That's gonna go away. And that'll end up being pay for play as well. It's the beginning. They do the same thing all the time. You start out where it's free, and then as more people come in, you know, supply and demand, more people come out, and then you got to pay for it.
Well, the other thing too is there are so many types of digital units, yeah. and they're not all equal. You know, banner ads are like way down, you know, in the ecosystem right now. There's not a lot of engagement with, you know, just banner ads. So be careful of that when you're budgeting. Look at thing, you know, we all produce video. I mean, God, you know,
it's video. When you say
it's
video?
It's video.
Yeah.
It's video. It's interactive. And really do some research into what is compelling when people are looking at video on their phones. It's not the same, obviously, and you guys know this, it's not the same thing as, you know, what we're doing in terms of spot on the air. But really, in your own experience, when you're on your devices, what's annoying you? What are you, you know, what are you, you know, I'm turning that off, I'm turning that off, I'm turning that off. And be aware of, you know, trends going forward, like ad blocking. And, you know.
Well, Apple's coming out with ad blocking that they already said in their new thing, they're going to block everything. So, you know, really at the end of the day, it's goes back to the fraud.
Right. Yeah. It goes back to the fraud. And when there's ad blocking, well, how do I then get engagement? Look at native advertising. Some of your stations are you know, selling native advertising on your websites and on your social platforms. How can you do that, you know, on other people's editorial sites and not, quote unquote, be an ad unit, but be in their content? I mean, that's sort of more the most valuable, you know, real estate in terms of digital.
Molly?
I just think that it's a moving needle, and it's no one has all the answers.
No.
And, you know, you just have to, again, read, network, talk, ask your friends in the business what's worked. And just know that it's a moving target, and it's changing faster than we can say, this is what you should do. It's, you know, you all are good marketers, and be your best self as far as placing the buys.
I think we've covered the trends in digital advertising and marketing, so we're going to do a couple speed rounds for the last questions. Ari, you approve co-op dollars for many shows at Warner Brothers.
Yes, he does.
14.
Give us an overview of what co-op proposals are likely to get your approval and which are not as they relate to digital.
Well, also I give a shout out to Paige Dratzer, who a lot of you guys work with, who does. Yes, who's amazing, absolutely amazing. And trust me, if you see her office, she goes through everything like with a fine-tooth comb.
Yes, she does.
So I give her a lot of credit. But really at the end of the day, as I said, you know, probably I started with Warner Brothers 4.5 years ago. Before that, I would actually go out for co-op and all that. 4.5 years ago, vast majority of the buys were cable, radio, a lot of radio, cable. I think over the last couple of years, people started throwing in a little bit of money with digital. They'll sort of round out it. We're willing to take a risk. We have to take a risk, but we just want to be educated. So as long as it's a good plan, as long as also it's who we talk to. So if I'm talking to a creative director who's asking for money, and you talk about extending your digital dollars, I hate to say it, but you know, double your money with co-op. I mean, that's really extending your digital dollar. But I will talk with a creative director, and if they seem knowledgeable, if they seem passionate, if they said, you know what, I talked with this, I like mobile, video works, I need a little extra dollars to really push this out further, we're going to be very supportive of that. If I talk to somebody and they just sort of like, I want to do digital, you know, I'm going to be, we have
not completely
thousands
like
of
family guys.
Nobody in this room, but at the end of the day, we were very supportive. I believe a lot of the other, you know, our other studio colleagues are also very supportive. But in a perfect world, I like seeing it as part of the mix. If there is a limited amount of dollars, we just like to see the rationale behind it. Is it a forced view? Is it adding? Are you maybe tying in it with radio? What is the creative? Mm-hmm. And that's one thing
the
we didn't talk about.
That is the
best way is the creative. If you don't have good creative, that's, remember, 80% of the video that you see on Facebook, you're not actually going to listen to. They're going to actually just read. So, you know, what is that creative that's going to actually kick? And so those are the things that we're looking for. What's the creative? What's the passion behind people? And what is their sort of rationale in the market? And then the separate thing is, if somebody says, you know what, I don't know, but I want to try. If it's a reasonable thing, I'll say, let's try it. But then come back and say, look, this worked.
Yeah.
And if it didn't work, let's say, let's try something different. So just be ready to fail, but hopefully we're, you know, opportunity to win. That's what we all want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Getting digital analytics is so important, as this whole session has pointed to. Adrian, tell us how you can use outside vendors to build your dashboard.
Well, you know, obviously we all have dashboards on each of your platforms. We're not all, you know, massive marketing organizations where you have a whole suite of tools at your disposal. Though there are some aggregators online that you can use inexpensively if you want to look at your whole, you know, suite of tools. But, you know, we all have Nielsen, people have Comscore, you've got Scarborough. Don't forget, while you're in triage mode every day back at the station, that you know, there are folks either at your stations or at corporate who are very knowledgeable, you know, in those areas. And there are reps from those firms that are more than happy to provide you with lots and lots of information. Even their websites have lots of white papers and examples that you can go through and then ask them questions. They're happy to give you the information.
And so are your syndicated
and your syndicators yeah.
and your network partners.
And mm-hmm. when a station cannot afford Scarborough or other expensive mm-hmm. research tools, you can ask reps.
Ask Ari.
Ask your sales reps.
Ask
I bet they'd be happy to get them.
But also remember, and most of you know this, Facebook has its own best dashboard.
Yeah.
There are other things that you can get, some of them for free, some for a small charge, but Facebook has so much insight. And I just, before you leave, I mean, we talked about all learning and we're this community, we need to learn and try to share that information to boost up broadcast as a whole. That's our goal. But at the end of the day, there is so much information for free online. Coursera.com. You can take entire courses from Stanford University. Facebook has like 3 hours of information on there, literally telling you everything. Hell, call Facebook. It doesn't matter who you are. Tell them you're the executive vice president of whatever and just say you're an influencer looking at their thing. I want to know. I have a question. How can I best do it? Talk to them. Talk to your community. Talk to your interns who actually there was one question about $500. I would just like buy a bunch of interns lunch for $500 and have them help us with the digital marketing. That's probably the best spending of the money.
Okay, last question. Aside from Facebook, what's the best bargain in your budget for social media?
Aside from Facebook.
For
social media or digital media?
No. Oh. Okay.
Well, your talent, certainly. I mean, look at your talent, see who they are, how many followers they have. They're very powerful voices. So I think
I think going back to editorial partners, all mm-hmm. of the national sites
yes.
can geo-target in your DMAs. So if Pop Sugar is like a great fit for your audience, go to them and say, I want to partner with you and I want to look at all your assets and how can we create something, here and price it from there. Don't limit yourself. It's not about necessarily, the dots part of it. It's how can I get into their editorial? How can we mm-hmm. do a takeover? How can we have a longer relationship somehow? You're a powerful medium in and of yourself. They
Absolutely.
Love to do stuff like that, so don't mm-hmm. hesitate to ask, but go out there and look and say, hey, those guys are doing something similar to me. Maybe we can do something together.
Look at your market. You can get a profile of what are the sites that most people are watching in your demo.
Scarborough will give you that
What are
list.
The apps that are the top in your market? And again, don't be fearful. Go to those Huffington Post or go to New York Post or whomever that app is. Talk to them, like you said, geo-target, and there could be a really great deal. You say, listen, I really want to target these people on this app because I know it's the number one in my market.
In this area.
Go for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a good deal.
I wish we had more time.
Are we being counted out?
We've been counted out.
Yeah,
and I cannot thank you
over.
Enough.
You want to take away the key takeaways?
Oh, you want to do that?
It's real quick.
Okay, you want to do the key takeaways. Define your goals and audience before you even start planning. And once the buys are placed, check every detail every day. Cross-promote station and talent pages when you can on your website and Facebook. Be aware of the new trends that are changing every day. Ask vendors for research you might not be able to afford. And having a huge
following,
thank you, on Facebook does not guarantee the right demographics for your programs and your efforts.
Pay to play.
Pay to play.
Pay to play.
Pay to play.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank
Appreciate
you.
Your time.
Thank you.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate LaCaire-Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A, follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack, follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. Subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.